Make sure you're subscribed to The Word of the Lord Endures Forever. Type The Word of the Lord Endures Forever in your podcast provider. Hit that subscribe button and leave us a 5-star review. This will make it easier for other podcast listeners to find The Word of the Lord Endures Forever.
The Word of the Lord Endures Forever is brought to you in part by the Lutheran Heritage Foundation. LHF is a recognized service organization of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, dedicated to translating and publishing the books of our Lutheran faith into more than 100 languages for our Christian brothers and sisters around the world. Learn how you can take part in their work at lhfmissions.org. Welcome to The Word of the Lord Endures Forever with Pastor Will Wheaton.
The cross then was no derailing of God's purposes. It was its very centerpiece. Through Messiah's innocent sufferings, the guilty would be pardoned and spared.
The Word of the Lord Endures Forever is a daily verse-by-verse Bible study with the church, past and present. Pastor Wheaton is leading us in a study of the book of Acts.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen. Greetings, people loved by God. So in our previous study, we had introduced the second of Peter's sermons in the book of Acts. He and John, recall, had just been the instruments through whom Jesus had caused the lame man, lame from birth even, to stand up and walk, or more literally, to dance and jump around. The man had been ecstatic, and the crowd had begun assembling around the man, Peter and John, staring in wonder. Peter asked why they were looking at them, as though by their own power or piety they had done this miracle. He explains that this is all Jesus is doing, the Jesus whom the God of their fathers had raised from the dead after they had denied him in the presence of Pilate and demanded a murderer be given in exchange for the very author of life itself. It was by the mighty name of that servant or child of God, Jesus, that the lame man was now standing before them whole, or more accurately, by faith in the name of Jesus that he was standing whole. A reference we may take it to Peter and John's faith that the crucified and risen Lord would do mighty works through them, just as he had promised. Continuing then, a reading from Acts, the 3rd chapter, beginning at the 17th verse. And now, brothers, I know that you acted in ignorance, as did also your rulers. But what God foretold by the mouth of all the prophets, that his Christ would suffer, he thus fulfilled. Repent, therefore, and turn back, that your sins may be blotted out, that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord, and that he may send the Christ appointed for you, Jesus, whom heaven must receive until the time for restoring all the things about which God spoke by the mouth of his holy prophets long ago. Moses said, the Lord God will raise up for you a prophet like me from your brothers. You shall listen to him in whatever he tells you. And it shall be that every soul who does not listen to that prophet shall be destroyed from the people. And all the prophets who have spoken from Samuel and those who came after him also proclaimed these days, you are the sons of the prophets and of the covenant that God made with your fathers, saying to Abraham, and in your offspring shall all the families of the earth be blessed. God, having raised up his servant, sent him to you first to bless you by turning every one of you from your wickedness. Acts 3, verses 17 to 26. Let us pray. Blessed Lord, since you've caused all holy scriptures to be written for our learning, grant that we may so hear them, read, mark, learn, and inwardly digest them, that by patience and comfort from your holy word, we may embrace and ever hold fast the blessed hope of everlasting life, which you've given us in our Savior, Jesus Christ, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. So you're ready to work your way through today's selection? Let's get into it, verse 17. And now, brothers, I know that you acted in ignorance, as did also your rulers. In saying this, St. Peter is reflecting the very word that Jesus prayed at the moment of his crucifixion, Luke 23, verse 34. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Or, as St. Paul wrote to the Corinthians, 1 Corinthians 2, verses 7 and 8, "But we impart a secret and hidden wisdom of God, which God decreed before the ages for our glory. None of the rulers of this age understood this, for if they had, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory." The rulers and the people were without excuse in knowing that Jesus was innocent, that he had done nothing deserving of death, but they were ignorant that in murdering this man, they were actually slaying the very author of life, Acts 3:15. St. John Chrysostom, preaching to his congregation in 4th century Antioch, likened this to the ignorance of Joseph's brothers in the way they treated him in Genesis, little guessing that through their betrayal, God was preparing a way to save both them and their families. Verse 18, "But what God foretold by the mouth of all the prophets, that his Christ would suffer, he thus fulfilled." And here, the wisdom of the cross is manifested. God uses their ignorant and evil act, quite intentionally, in order to fulfill what he had long promised in the Old Testament, and thus to accomplish the salvation of the whole human race. The Christ, the promised one, would suffer. This theme runs from the first gospel in Genesis 3:15, "I will put enmity between you and the woman and between your offspring and her offspring. He shall bruise your head and you shall bruise his heel," through the types of Isaac's lamb, Joseph's afflictions, the Passover, and so on, straight through the prophet Isaiah's description of Yahweh's suffering servant, culminating in Isaiah 53, and then the many allusions to the passion in the minor prophets, the book of the 12, and in the Psalms, think Psalm 22 and Psalm 69. The cross then was no derailing of God's purposes. It was its very centerpiece. Through Messiah's innocent sufferings, the guilty would be pardoned and spared. So Peter urges them to stop running from God, to turn back to him. Verse 19, "Repent, therefore, and turn back, that your sins may be blotted out," verse 20, "that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord, and that he may send the Christ appointed for you, Jesus." Turn back is the continual summons of Yahweh to his people. Come home to me. It's true that murdering the author of life was a horrendous act viewed from the perspective of humanity. But viewed from the perspective of God, this provides the very means for sins to be blotted out and for God's good times, his times of refreshing, to be poured out on the earth when Christ Jesus appears again in glory. Verse 21, "whom heaven must receive until the time for restoring all the things about which God spoke by the mouth of his holy prophets long ago." Until in Scripture can be a little bit tricky. But Didymus the Blind, a famous Bible teacher in Alexandria in the 4th century, he helps us get its meaning here. He says, "This should be understood to mean that Christ, now received into heaven, will remain there until the consummation of the world. Then he will come in power when everything is restored as the prophets foretold." That would be the glorious new heavens and the new earth that St. John spoke about in Revelation 21, the ending of all sorrow and grief and tears and hunger and fears. St. Peter further explains, verse 22, "Moses said, 'The Lord God will raise up for you a prophet like me from your brothers. You shall listen to him in whatever he tells you.'" Verse 23, "and it shall be that every soul that does not listen to that prophet shall be destroyed from the people." Yes, there's a double entendre in raise up. It means not that God will establish a prominent prophet from among his people only, but that, quite literally, he will resurrect his prophet from death, and that when he does that, you'd better be listening to whatever he tells you. I wonder if St. Peter, in preaching this, remembered with a smile the words that his very own ears had heard God the Father utter on the Mount of Transfiguration. Remember this? Luke 9, verse 35. "And a voice came out of the cloud saying, 'This is my Son, my chosen one. Listen to him.'" Listen to him. It's a matter of life and death. His words deliver rescue from death and damnation. They are words of eternal life. God commands one and all to hear and give heed to what his Son says. Verse 24, "And all the prophets who have spoken from Samuel and those who came after him also proclaimed these days." Peter and all the apostles are absolutely convinced that everything in the Old Testament that God had ever promised through his holy prophets was actually being fulfilled in their own days. But why did he say from Samuel? I suspect because Samuel was the one who anointed Israel's first two kings, to the second of whom a promise was made about one of his sons having an everlasting kingdom. Verse 25, "You are the sons of the prophets and of the covenant that God made with your father, saying to Abraham, 'And in your offspring shall all the families of the earth be blessed.'" St. Peter reminds them that this is their heritage. They're sons of these prophets, children of this covenant which God made so very long ago with Father Abraham. "And in your offspring," or literally seed, "shall all the families of the earth be blessed." St. Paul would later explain, Galatians 3, verse 16. Now, the promises were made to Abraham and to his offspring. It does not say "and to offsprings," referring to many, but referring to one, "and to your offspring," who is Christ. Jesus is the promised offspring or seed in whom the promise of Genesis 12, 3 and 22, 18 has been fulfilled. St. Peter is reminding the Jews that Jesus is not alien to them or against them. He's the one they've been waiting for, longing for, and praying for. Verse 26, "God, having raised up his servant, sent him to you first to bless you by turning every one of you from your wickedness." Sent him to you, the Jewish people, first stresses the invariable order that we see operating throughout the book of Acts. Here's what Paul said in Acts 13:46. "And Paul and Barnabas spoke out boldly, saying, 'It was necessary that the word of God be spoken first to you,'" that is to you Jews, "'since you thrust it aside and judge yourselves unworthy of eternal life. Behold, we are turning to the Gentiles.'" Or again, as at the tail end of Acts, when the Jews hear Paul's witness in Rome and are divided, and he accuses them of fulfilling Isaiah's prophecy about having eyes that don't see and ears that don't work, he concludes, Acts 28:28, "Therefore let it be known to you that this salvation of God has been sent to the Gentiles. They will listen." So always, the apostles go first to the synagogue, and only when they're no longer permitted to speak openly in the synagogue do they turn to the non-Jews, many of whom end up being more willing to hear and believe than the Jews themselves. And right there is where we're going to call it quits for today. Next time, we move into Acts 4 and find out that the council is more than irritated with the fact that these men are proclaiming in Jesus the resurrection. They arrest them, toss them into jail, and then bring them to trial, demanding to know by what power or name they did this miracle. Peter is again the spokesman, and he flatly states that it was all done in the name of Jesus, whom, by the way, you crucified, but whom God raised from the dead. And he will add that this Jesus is the very stone which they, the builders, the rulers, had rejected, but which God is making the cornerstone of his new people, his church. And it's only by the name of Jesus that there's salvation to be found anywhere. It's the only name given under heaven by which anyone gets saved. Till next time, then, people loved by God, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen.
Thanks for listening to The Word of the Lord Endures Forever with Pastor Will Wheaton. The Word of the Lord Endures Forever is a listener-supported program. You can donate by check, make your check payable to The Word Endures, and send it to Box 616, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also make a secure online contribution at thewordendures.org. The Word of the Lord Endures Forever is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.